Welcome to the Over a Cup podcast. I'm your host, Tara Cole. This podcast is for moms who feel too busy, distracted, and tired to spend time with Jesus, much less help their kids do the same. This podcast will help you feel encouraged, inspired, and equipped to fight distractions and find the time to deepen your family's relationship with Jesus. Thank you so much for being here with me. Pour yourself a cup as we learn how to focus on Jesus together. Friends, welcome to another episode of the Over a Cup podcast. I am so glad you all are here. This week, I have Kimberly Amishi with me. She is a mom, a podcaster, and she talks a lot about family culture and how to develop that in our families. And so I am so excited to have her with me here to talk about how to do that through character building, how to build our character through our family's culture. And she has a story to share with us. But Kimberly, can you introduce yourself first?
Sure. So I'm a wife and a mom. I have three kids. They're teenagers. They are, let's see if I can get this right, because they're all, we're in birthday season. So it's like a domino effect, right? So I have a 15-year-old, a 17-year-old, and about to turn 19-year-old. Oh, wow. So I have two at home and one that's been in college this past year. That's so exciting. The work, yeah. New territory, very exciting. So I primarily work as a family culture coach, which just typically means that I'm a certified life coach that helps people imagine, plan, and build their best family. So coaching was such a game changer for me. I treated myself to a package of 10 coaching sessions when I turned 40, and it really helped me fine tune my values, my beliefs, what I care about, and really helped me. And so I was like, I can't wait to do this for others. And I have just paired that with some of the things that I've learned about culture, organizational leadership, parenting, and kind of like rolled it all up in one. And voila, family culture coach, working with families. My background is in design and architecture. I did that for a number of years before I became a stay-at-home mom. And now I'm a writer, a speaker, a podcast host and producer. I still love design. And a coach.
You have a lot of stuff on your plate.
Yeah. Yes. That was one of the reasons why I started working with a life coach, was because I was like, I wear so many hats. Just tell me one thing that I'm good at. And she really did help me hone it and see how they connected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes it feels like a lot, but I've really worked over the years to really integrate it so that it's not overwhelming.
That's good. Yeah. I've been learning that the past year as how to keep it all integrated. So they're all parts mm-hmm. of one whole mm-hmm. instead yes. of having many different buckets.
Yes.
Yeah,
because that can be unsettling and overwhelming. And who has time to play catch up? I don't.
Right. Exactly. Especially with three kids.
Yeah.
All right. So as we were talking here on the podcast, we often share God's stories to help bring hope to our listeners who are going through hard times. And so you said you had a God story to share around the idea of helping our kids build character through their family culture. Mm-hmm. Can you share that story with us?
Yeah. So, gosh, there's a number of different ways we can go. So as I was thinking about this, one of the things that stood out to me, well, the work that I've done with my family and the work that I do with other families is helping them understand their values, helping them mm-hmm. understand the top five things that are most important to them. And then, you know, leaning into those things on purpose. What are the practices and what is your language around those values? And so much of the character building work that we've done in this family is to have a consistent language around who we are, what we stand for, what we believe, and who we want to be. Mm-hmm. And so I've thought about the years and some of the things that we've learned from God and where we've seen him show up in the midst of this. And the thought that came to mind was this idea of resilience. Mm-hmm. You know, we, in the language that we've chosen, we are teaching our kids. And I believe this is an incredible character trait, that resiliency, but also married with this idea of like trusting that God is directing our steps so that even in our disappointments and even when things don't work out, that God mm-hmm. is doing something, right? So, you know, always kind of looking back and saying, wow, you know, this didn't go the way we planned, but we wouldn't have been able to do this if this happened, right? Mm-hmm. Understanding this idea of, you know, maybe it's not going the way you planned. Maybe it's not as easy as you thought it would be, but who are we? What do we believe? what's important to us in this situation, and let's work towards that. So a lot of it, a lot of what our family culture has allowed us to do is to keep going back to those core values, keep going back to those, you know, I guess character traits and things mm-hmm. that we really want them to learn and take with them into the future. And so one of the stories that's so fun to share about where we've seen God work in the midst of disappointments and hardships is my son, Aaron. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I've created as an entrepreneur, as an online sort of coach and mom, is these cards I have called Read It, Pray It cards. Mm-hmm. And it has a prayer on the front and a scripture on the back. Mm-hmm. And it's what we used when my kids were little to help them. Really, it was to help me not be so bored with nighttime prayers. I uh-huh. needed to find a reason to not be saying the same things over and over again. Plus, it was the way that I learned to really have faith and build my faith and step into faith would be praying the scriptures, reading over and over again what the Bible says about a situation, and then taking my situation and putting it in that scripture. And so I wanted to be able to teach my kids to do that. And I created these cards. And it was one of those things where I created it. We use them with my kids. But at one point, I was like, we've kind of forgotten about them.
Yes, that happens.
But, you know, the great thing about God is that nothing's wasted. And my son was going through a particularly hard season. Mm-hmm. And he had joined the wrestling team at his for the town. And he was, I want to say maybe third grade. I mean, he was young mm-hmm. and he was really struggling because if anybody is a parent of a wrestler, they know it is an intense sport. It is not for the faint of heart. And your child goes out onto a mat in front of everybody and they either win or they lose. So as a second, third, fourth, and fifth, and I've seen fifth, sixth graders crying after every time they compete. It's like, it's unlike any other sport I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And so he went through a season of getting really discouraged, really just disappointing and wanting to give up. And, you know, as a mom, you coach them, you encourage them, but at some point they've got to take hold of this themselves. And mm-hmm. it could be discouraging because you're like, okay, he's in third grade. Like, what is happening here?
Right.
And so they had, they called him up to be on the varsity team, which just meant bigger kids, right? They uh-huh. needed a little body for the bigger tournaments. And so he wasn't very successful. He was getting beat time and time again. And there was one particular tournament where he was wrestling. It wasn't going well. I talked to his coaches and I said, hey, can we get him in some like JV matches to get some wins under his belt? Like let him sort of build up that confidence. Mm-hmm. And they were like, sure. Yeah, let's do that. Cause I was like, I don't want him to quit. And he wants to quit, mm-hmm. you know, and that's not something that we want to do in our family. One of our values is integrity. And we believe that has to do with honoring our commitments. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, let's reassess when the season's over, but we're not quitting. We're not giving up. But when you have a child who's like crying,
right,
you're like, maybe we should let him give up. Like,
right.
And so anyways, we got a couple wins under his match. We were at a tournament and all of a sudden he won a couple matches and he was like, I'm ready to go, mom. And I'm like, well, we just can't go. Like, it's not over. Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, I want to go. I'm ready now. And he even started to like hit me and like push me because he really, really wanted to leave. Mm-hmm. And so here I am. There's other people there. My mother-in-law was there and I'm dealing with this, right? Uh-huh. So I knew that there was no way that he was going to stay that day. So we got into the car and I said, buddy, what's going on? Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I have practiced with my kids is trying to get to the root of what's really bothering them. Uh-huh. Like I could have punished his behavior. I could have said, you know, you can't do that. You can't behave this way. You came, you have to stay to the end. I could have read in the riot act, but I said, buddy, what's going on? Like, what's really going on? Trying to get mm-hmm. to the heart of it. And he said to me, mom, he's like, I don't want to lose because I know what's going to happen. If I lose, I'm going to cry. And if I cry, I'm going to be embarrassed. And I don't want to be embarrassed in front of my friends. Aww. And so he was really able to articulate like what was going on with him. Mm-hmm. And it was such an incredible God moment because I had a chance to talk to him because we had his read a prayer cards and we were able to go back to those and go back to the scripture and talk about fear mm-hmm. and talk about like, this spirit of fear is not from God. So mm-hmm. what are we going to do about it? And what he did, and the interesting thing is that he did this on his own. So it might have been fourth grade, but still young, but not like, you know, so young that he didn't know to do this. He went home and he got his scripture cards on fear, and he wrote out every single one of those prayers. There's only four cards per topic. Mm-hmm. And he wrote the four scriptures, and he put his name in, and he put wrestling in, and he read those every day. And it was such a fantastic thing to see him grow in his faith, mm-hmm. and see God show up and transform his heart. Mm-hmm. And I love that I was able to have the wisdom to not like go in and want to be like, you need to be obedient, you need to be compliant, you need to listen, mm-hmm. get to the heart of what was going on, have him seek God, and then have God show up in a very real and tangible way. And he finished out that season. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that he was winning all of his matches. That was not the case. But he was literally transformed by the word of God in those moments. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in terms of family culture, it had to do with, you know, our values. It had to do with us deciding, like, how do we model commitment? How do we model resilience? How do we talk about it on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. How do we weave it into the words that we speak in our home? And, you know, it became a really great testimony. He even was asked to preach at youth group, and he got up and he talked about this experience, and he uh-huh. talked about what it was to replace the thoughts and the feelings we have with truth from the Bible, and how consistently over time he was able to have the courage he needed to get back out there and wrestle. And so, it's just, you know, creating a culture where kids can learn and grow, mm-hmm. and be pointed back to Jesus has just been fantastic for us.
And so, I love that he took something you'd already been doing, and then you were able, and like you said, you had forgotten about it for a while. It doesn't have to be something you're doing every day. And then you were able to build on that in this hard situation. And so you mentioned that it was the family culture you'd already created. So how do you kind of create or incubate that type of family culture in your homes? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So a lot of the work, I mean, creating family culture is about creating intentional steps over time that line mm-hmm. up with your values. And so, you know, to get started, it doesn't take a lot of steps. You can simply decide, you know, what is it that you want your family to be known for? What is important to you? What do you want to carry forward that you experienced growing up that matters to you? You know, it could be as simple as saying, okay, what are a handful of things I want my kids to know and understand before they leave our house? Mm-hmm. For us, we took it a step further. We took it, you know, into the work that I do with clients and in my online courses by saying, well, what are your top five values? Mm-hmm. Okay. So once you have those top five values, what do those look like practically? You know, so we have continual conversations around, for example, integrity. One of our practices is we honor our commitments even when it's hard, mm-hmm. not just when it's easy. Another thing around integrity for us is, you know, we are the same. We are ourselves, whether we're inside of our house or outside of our house, like consistency mm-hmm. in character. And so over time, like we established things that were important to us so that when we gotten ourselves into a situation where we had to make a decision, we could go back to those values. We could go back to, hey, I don't really feel like getting up and shoveling the driveway to go to practice today, but we can't just honor our commitments when they're convenient, you know? Yeah. So like going back to that language and, you know, doing our best, and we're not perfect at this, like staying away from accusing people of things or, you know, addressing behavior, like really going back to the core of the culture, what we believe and what's important to us. So, you know, I think the main thing is taking the time to figure out mm-hmm. what it is that's important to us. And so your decision-making just comes easier through that. You know, what you teach your kids, how you live out your life, it all kind of stems from that.
And it kind of reminded me of what the lazy genius says, like you make a decision once and mm-hmm. then you follow through. So you make a decision. This is our core values. This is yep. who we are. So when those hard decisions come, you've already, in a sense, made that decision.
Yes. I mean, that works for so many things. That works for your meal plan. That's what mm-hmm. I love about meal plan is they make my decision. I'm not making my decision at 5:30, you know, 6 o'clock, maybe sometimes 8 o'clock on a Thursday night when my stomach is grumbling and my kids are crying. Like we make the decision ahead of time. We know what we're going to have. We just follow through with it.
Right. Yes. That makes things so much easier. So if someone was struggling to help their child, because as we're going throughout this season of the Overcut podcast, we're really focusing on, and it's just like you said, you made those prayer cards for your kids. It's about praying God's word over their school year. And so if someone was looking for, okay, say my kid is struggling with sticking with their schoolwork and really, because like, for instance, my kids, I have a couple kids who are doing really well in some subjects and not so great in others. And so I'm like, all right, you need extra practice, you need extra homework, but they're really struggling with enduring, sticking with it, putting in the time needed to bring those grades up. And I'm trying to teach them in middle school. So hopefully, even though it goes harder for the middle school, if you're not, if you don't know it and you're a parent, just from a college teacher, let me give you a bit of advice. Grades don't matter until they hit ninth grade. So it is okay to let them really screw up in middle school and figure it out. And then they'll have the skills they need to do well in high school and college. High school and college is not the time to figure out how to study habits. Those grades matter. And so just an extra tip there. But
were you 5 years ago?
So if my kids are struggling with really sticking with school, how would I maybe build a character trait around that in their family? Or how would I find prayers to pray over my kid? What are some steps you would use if you're saying this is a place they're struggling, this is a characteristic, a value I would like our family to have? How would someone start with that?
Yeah. So immediately I'm like, oh, I got tips and tricks for that. But here's a trap that I think, and immediately I go there and I'm stopping myself, because here's a trap is that we want to go in and fix everything. But for me, especially, and a lot at a lot of ages and stages, we pause for a moment and we say, okay, let's say perseverance, endurance, whatever it is, like this situation that you're speaking of, talking to them and letting them answer questions, like asking them questions. What does perseverance look like? What does endurance look like? What is preventing you from overcoming that? What is preventing you from this? Kind of coming at it from a coaching perspective. And as my kids have become middle schoolers and high schoolers, and now my college student, is really starting to coach them and help them come up with answers for themselves. Because especially with children, they may need completely different things from each other. So like the issues that my daughter has might be quite different from what my son has, you know, like, you know, the answer may be simple as, you know, I just don't want to do it all in one sitting. Well, what does that look like? Well, maybe I can do 30 minutes, take a break, have a snack, do it 30 minutes later. Like, what does it look like for them? And so I'm all about understanding their obstacles. You know, and this isn't about like letting them run the show and rule the roost and make the rules. This is about understanding what it is that makes them tick and how do I help them accomplish what needs to be accomplished. You know, and asking questions has always been something that I like to do. So, you know, could you, you know, what are some other times that you could get your work done? Oh, mom, I could do it at study hall. Okay, so tell me more about that. Oh, I don't like to do it then. I'm not a night person, mom. I want to get it done after school, or I don't want to get it done after school. I just need a break, mom. You know, getting to the heart of what is preventing them from that. But also, again, back to the language, like, let's make sure we're putting the effort in. How much effort have you put in today? Like, you know, would it be helpful to track it, to maybe time it? It's time, like, open the dialogue with them and try to get their feedback and try to listen for what's holding them up and trying to meet them there. That's been really, really helpful for us. And I find that when our children come up with solutions and when they are part of the problem solving process, they take ownership of the solution and they're more likely to implement it and stick with it if they feel like they've had a hand in creating the answer.
No, that's a really good idea, because put that into practice this next week, or maybe this year. We only have 3 weeks of school left.
Yeah.
Because yeah, they don't like my solutions. My solutions are do more homework.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to have to do that, because that is a really good idea. Because being used to being the teacher, I'm really good at coming up with solutions, but I really like that you really, that you pointed to, we're going to ask them these questions and help them problem solve it. And I also like that you pointed out that they need to, that each kid might need to problem solve it differently. Mm-hmm. Because oftentimes we know they're all different, but we try the one size fits all solution. But my oldest and my youngest are complete opposites. And I remember one day when I was answering a question from my oldest, and I had started giving him the long answer, and he said, "Wait, stop. I just need a yes or a no." And so I was like, "All right." And I gave him the yes or a no. I was like, "Noted, you need a yes or no. Your younger brother needs a novel with footnotes." And so it's helpful to recognize that even as they're problem solving for these different things that may come up for around school or other forms of life, different solutions are okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the character that we're building that matters the most.
Yeah. And if I share that, if I share with them something, it's like more of a principle, mm-hmm. less prescriptive. Mm-hmm. You know, so yeah, sure. There's things that's worked for me, but they don't get to get off the hook. Like we
right.
come up with a solution, but like, it doesn't need to be my solution.
That's a really good point. I'm writing this down. Because I'm So if you guys are driving in the car, washing dishes or something, I got your back. I'm taking it. It's the teacher in me. Mm. So, I really liked how, when you were talking about your son, Aaron's story, that you focused on pointing him back to Jesus in the end. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, "Buddy, get back in there, in this family, we do X," mm-hmm. you really did ask him questions and then point him back to Jesus and the word. But as I found out, we can't introduce our kids to someone we don't know. Mm-hmm. So how do you seek to grow your own personal relationship with Jesus in the midst of your career and having three kids and all mm-hmm. that stuff that you mm-hmm. have going on?
Yeah. So, there's the daily devotional time, mm-hmm. which for me, what it looks like changes often.
Yes.
So, you know, sometimes it's worship, sometimes it's prayer and journaling. I am currently going through the Bible with some friends. We're doing mm-hmm. the Bible recap. So that helps keep me accountable for the numerous times I've started the Bible and have not finished it. I will listen to podcasts, typically sermons, while I'm running. Mm-hmm. Recently, my daughter, she started attending a church down in college, which I was thrilled about. And she's like, "Can you start listening to their podcast so that I want to talk about one of the sermons and you've heard it?" I'm like, "Yeah."
So awesome.
So now I listen to my church, this church. But I do try to utilize, like, you know, that time. Worship is something that I could do a little bit more. It's something that I forget about, but always recenters my heart on Christ. Mm-hmm. One thing that I mentioned a little bit with my son is like getting to the root of what's really going on. And I would say, like, all of these things that I've just mentioned, they're really good disciplines mm-hmm. for me, but the art or the practice of, when I'm struggling, sitting and really searching my heart and letting God show the root of something I'm struggling with has really been probably the most intimate part of me seeking Jesus. Meaning that it's not just, you know, because I can get caught up in checking the boxes and saying, "I've read the Bible today. I've listened to my music," or "I've listened to 10 podcasts. I've, mm-hmm. you know, checked my Bible reading plan off." But when I slow down, and especially if there's something that I find myself struggling with, asking myself question, "Well, why am I feeling this way? Okay, well, why do I think that? Okay, well, where did this come from, Lord?" And then usually the Lord will show me, like, "Oh, that happened. And now I believe this about myself, but Lord, what is true about this?" And then just lingering and journaling long enough for God to sort of counter whatever that is that I've falsely believed about him or about myself or about other people. And so, you know, I could forget to do that sometimes, but when I'm really struggling, that always recenters me. And it's something that I would love to do more. And it's something that I do teach my kids to do, mm-hmm. Is to just sit with what you're struggling a little bit mm-hmm. and sort of kind of dig around and find out what's the root of this and what's really going on here.
I really love how you basically take your own coaching idea that you mentioned about asking your kids questions, or I'm assuming you even do the same for your clients and ask them questions and even turn it in on your own heart and your time with God. Cause you're right. So often we can check those boxes and think, all right, I got my quiet time done, shut the Bible, go on with my day. But really we're still carrying this heaviness and we're like, God, why didn't my quiet time quote unquote work? Why did it not bring me joy and peace? Yeah. But yes, that is so important to root out those problems. And I love how you do it with questions. I had not heard of that before.
Okay. Well, I always know I'm on the right track when I'm not really happy when I'm done. When I get to the done of my journal and I'm like, that is not the answer that I wanted. No, Lord, you're supposed to fix my husband, not show me where. I am assuming the wrong thing.
No. I often find when I, especially with my spouse, when I'm trying to fix my spouse, usually if I allow God to fix me, then it works out with my spouse, whether he changes because I've changed or something shifts or God talks to him as he's talking to me and I just don't know it. But even when we almost didn't make it when we were first married, as soon as I stopped trying to fix him and focused on myself, things started to change so much better than me just picking at him.
I mean, I even think with me as a parent, there have been times when I've been frustrated with my kids or I'm carrying the weight of what they're going through. And, you know, my biggest aha moments have been when God's like, you're making this about you. Like, stop for just a second. And then I kind of like relook at the situation and I'm like, oh, okay. Like, you know, like for me, that was a big turning point in like my yelling with the kids. And I feel like God showed me that's selfishness. They're not doing anything wrong. They're kids. And I had to go, oh God, I'm making this about me. I'm making this about my inconvenience. I'm making about this about like, here I go again, you know, like I have to do this again. Like, and so even in my parenting, it's been so helpful to say, this is something my kid's going through. Why does this impact me so much? Sometimes it'll be about something I experienced at a child, as a child that I couldn't fix. It could be something that, it could be selfishness, something that I'm annoyed at. It could be me trying to keep up appearances and I'm more concerned about that than what's really going on. Like it could be a myriad of things because we know, because we are not, because we are flawed. And so, yeah, I mean, that just that process of slowing down and examining has just, it just changes everything. It changes your perspective. It changes how you respond. You can love better. You can respond better. And it's just, yeah, it's really been pivotal and it's super important.
I really love that. If you guys are listening, I will write that. I have it written down also, and we'll share that as an abide idea in this month. Because here, we do the podcast and I love talking with guests, but I really want to pull out ideas to help our listeners abide with Jesus throughout their day. And I love that one. Like I said, I haven't heard that one before. So I'm gonna have to sit and do it myself over the next few months before this episode goes live. Cause I know I have some stuff I've been struggling with and like, God, why didn't you fix this yet? But sometimes it does take us listening and trying to root out the problem with him instead of just trying to band-aid it.
So
as you mentioned that you try to help your kids do the same thing, are there other ways that you have helped them seek Jesus over the years now that they're older teens that you found have been helpful for them?
So I think, you know, this is something I'm learning to do and I've gotten really good at, but admitting that I don't have all the answers because I do feel like if I take the place of Jesus in their life, then they don't need to seek Jesus.
That's a good point.
And so there are times when they want me to fix it or I want to fix it and just being vulnerable and saying, look, I don't really know what the right thing to do is here, or I don't have the answers, or I don't know why she, you know, your friend did that to you. And I don't really know why. And then praying about it. Sometimes we pray about it together. I mean, I still pray with my teenagers. But we've sort of aged out of that phase where they let me sit in their room and pray with them about like some of these things. But you know, I think back to times when even when they were little, finding things and they would get so frustrated, they lost something and I didn't know where it was, but I would sit down, I'm like, let's pray about it. And they're like, oh mom. And I'm like, let's pray about it. And we would pray and I would make them sit. And I said, let's just see if God tells us where it's at. And I'll tell you, almost every time, I would just have a random thought and I would get up and we would find it. Or like my child would go, oh, I know where it's at. And so like even working with them and practicing with them, like we're not just praying, let's just sit a little bit. Let's listen. And, you know, now they're older, I've been encouraging them to journal because that's kind of like, you know, I'm handing it off. I'm handing the responsibility off to you. When I see them struggling, I say, look, you know, just journal about it. I mean, they're not big journalers, but I think it's kind of a good thing to point them to. I'm like, if you're mad at me, if you're mad at dad, if you're mad at God, just write it all down. Like you need to figure out what's going on with your head, get it on the paper. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to hold it inside. And it, the process has been super helpful for me and it's been super helpful for my kids as well. They don't have to share it with me, but if they have a place where they can just write down everything they're thinking, it helps them process. And so that, and I say, you know, write your prayers out in there. Like you don't have to do anything fancy or say anything special. Just write it down and take some time with it.
I'm glad that you mentioned it doesn't have to be fancy special resources. They can do this with a 50-cent notebook and a pen. It's not, and all of us, I have stacks of those from school supplies laying around my house.
Yep.
So as we start to wrap up, are there any other resources you found that continue to help you abide in Jesus? You mentioned the Bible recap, and I actually listened to it this week because you were the third or fourth guest I interviewed this season that has mentioned the Bible recap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like everywhere. I was late to the party, but I mean, I love it. It keeps me on track.
Then I'm very late to the party. But are there any other resources and things you found helpful?
Well, what I just recently started and I'm really excited about is Emotionally Healthy Relationships. I think it's by Peter Scazzaro. He's also written like Emotionally Healthy Leadership, Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, but our church leadership is going through Emotionally Healthy Relationships.
Okay.
And one of the things that is part of, it's a workbook and there's video teachings and part of it comes with a devotional that it encourages you to do morning, midday, and evening prayers, or they say twice a day or three times a day. I've just been doing twice a day. So in the morning and a midday or morning in the evening, and they're very short devotionals. They actually, have you pause in silence for 2 minutes. So I set a little timer, focus, read the scripture, read the devotional. And then there's another 2 minutes of silence where you just, you know, reflect and hear from God. And so that's a new practice. And of course, the first thing they do is they talk about the importance of abiding. And so I've just started it, but I'm really excited about it's only for 40 days being disciplined about twice a day. Cause you mentioned earlier about praying throughout the day. And that is something that for a lot of years, like you said, I would tick the box and that would be it till the end of the day. Until the next day. Right. And then I go back in the Bible, go back to prayer. But I love this idea of being intentional of like weaving my conversations with God throughout the day. And I am in the season of cultivating that, like, Lord, the introduction of my podcast is not coming out the way I thought it would. Could you please help me with this? You know, oh Lord, my husband, that didn't go well for my husband today. I already know what's coming. Prepare me, help me to love, like just recognizing, you know, him and my inability to meet every need or have all the answers and just recognizing him in those small things. And so I love the idea that this is a discipline. We are doing this with a group from church. So I'm like, I'm all about accountability when I can get it. So anyways, that's a long answer for this new resource that I know is going to be fabulous. I heard from people, it's fantastic. And what I've already read and what I've already done has been incredible.
I will have to go check that out. I love resources and that one sounds really, really good. I have not heard of it. So thank you for sharing that. So I will link that for you all in the show notes so you have it and can go check it out too. I will be checking it out. It sounds really good, but I like how you pointed out there that it's this discipline, reading this book is helping you to realize that you need God throughout your day, that because as I'm learning more about abiding, I wrote a book on it a couple years ago, but even as I'm continuing to learn more, it's really about surrendering to him and his spirit and learning that, unlike the American culture saying you have to bootstrap it, you can be anything you want to be, you can do all the things and be successful at all the things, it's really saying, I can't, but God can. And more so, like you even mentioned, streamlining all your ideas into one instead of trying to be the best across every single thing. God, what do you want me to focus on? Where do I need to put my attention? And then going with him in that, and really depending on him for guidance, even for things like helping with our podcast intros and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I'm finding that if he has called me there, he will provide even things like that. Because I don't know how many times he's called me somewhere and been like, God, Pharaoh's behind me. There's a Red Sea in front of me and I don't have Moses.
So, that's so good.
But he shows up when we admit we need help. He's like, I was waiting for you to ask. And so, yes, abiding through him constantly throughout our day is something he's really been teaching me lately. Mm-hmm. It's a hard lesson, but it's helpful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, Kimberly, before we close out, where can my listeners find you? Where can they find your resources? And then you mentioned you have a gift or a PDF or something available for them.
Yep. So, okay, you can find me at buildyourbestfamily.com. That's where I'm primarily at. I also am at KimberlyAmici.com. I'm on Instagram and as Kimberly Amici and Build Your Best Family as well.
Okay.
On my website, there is a page for free resources. And on there, I have a family culture discussion sheet. And it's going to be a handful of questions that help you figure out what you want your family culture to be. So it gets you thinking. It's that decision-making process in the beginning. It's actually probably more the brainstorming process in the beginning that allows you to say, okay, here are the things that I want to intentionally create in my home so that I can go in a specific direction on purpose and not just go with the flow. So yep, that's available. That's a free download. So
excellent. So if you liked what we were saying about the beginning about creating this family culture and you're like, where do I start? That would be an excellent place to start.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. So as we close out, let me end us in prayer. Say, God, thank you so much for this conversation with Kimberly. Thank you for the things myself and our listeners were able to learn. I just pray that you will give us wisdom as we go throughout the school year and help us to intentionally start to think about the culture of our families and how we can use that to help our kids build the characters that will, the character of faith that will last them for a lifetime. Because that's really our goal here is to help them build and get a strong foundation of a lifetime of faith and a lifetime walk with you. That's the desire of our hearts. I just ask that you'll continue to guide us towards it. Thank you so much for everything you've given us and the love you constantly show us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, listeners, we're going to wrap up here and jump into the listener questions, and those will be available for our Patreon subscribers. You can catch those there. You all have a great week, and I'll see you back here next time. Bye-bye. To make sure you don't miss a single episode, please hit the subscribe button in your podcast app. If you found this podcast helpful, please leave a rating and review on iTunes to help others find Over a Cup and join us on this journey. Thank you.